Have a guess who's on the line now.
Your colleague on the fairways.
My live commentary colleague, Matty Rogers. Morning, Matty.
Paddy, how are you? You got the call, mate. How exciting.
It is.
We're going back.
I know. I can't believe it. It's fantastic. Well, yeah, I mean, for all the tournaments that I've covered, it was the hype around it was just amazing, wasn't it? It was great. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I think it'll be bigger this year, Paddy. I think after, you know, what they experienced last year, you know, they said they could have sold another 10 or 20,000 tickets. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just a bit nervous about the size of the lines in the merch tent because, you know, I love a merch tent.
Yeah, we're going to have to get out there early before they open the gates.
Day before.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, good luck for the Pro-Am, Matty. I hope you hit them great.
Well, I'm not in it yet. I'm working on. I've got a Paddy. You know people.
Yes.
It's Operation Get Rat into the Pro-Am. So we've got to find a way.
So, in other words, you want me to call the shark? Was that where you're going with this conversation?
Listen, I didn't say it, but you did. So why don't you give the shark a call and say, listen, Matty, he's been hitting it well. Let's get him in the Pro-Am. I think it's great for SEN. They're calling the event. I think it'd be fantastic.
So it probably wouldn't hurt, that one.
We'll see what we can do. All right, Broncos, Bunnies tonight, and we keep saying it, there's none of these high-profile teams, well, no team, wants to start 0-2.
No, it's a long season, a lot of football ahead, but, just getting away that first win as early as you can just puts a little bit of confidence in the team and the group. And, you know, when you've got a young side like the Broncos do, you know, you really want to sort of try to notch up a couple of early victories just to keep that energy high. And you wonder sort of, you know, does the hangover of last year start to come into effect if they're 0-2 and they're starting to sort of not staring down the barrel, but, you know, the barrel sort of coming up into their eyesight, that's for sure. And, yeah, look, we saw the Cowboys last year get away to an ordinary start and they never recovered. So you start playing a bit of a different football when you're under pressure. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how both these sides fare after not their best performances in round one.
Kevin was a little snappy yesterday when questioned about the whole Ezra Mam-Spencer Lunyu affair. He said it's been done and dealt with now. But do you believe there's some sort of residual effect within the Bronx with this incident?
Paddy, I think they're over it as a group. It's been hanging around for a while too long in my opinion. It should have been dealt with a lot sooner. But look, I think they're young enough, and you know, these young blokes nowadays, they've got memories like goldfish. They forget things in an instant and they can move on. Let's hope it has, because it's run its course. We've dealt with it. We've moved on. But, you know, the emotional toll, you just don't know. I mean, I don't know Ezra Mam. I don't know what he dealt with growing up. I don't know his background. I don't know any of that. So whether that has a residual effect, like you mentioned, I'm unsure. But I'd like to think these young fellows, they can sort of flush it, move on, and get back to playing some good footy.
Yeah, a couple of interesting selections and strategies by Kevy with the Broncos. Marty Tapao selected initially and now dropped. And then Corey Oates trains most of the pre-season but not selected first up, and same for round two. Do those sorts of things ring okay for you, or is that a little destabilising?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Kevin. They know what's going on. They know what's going on internally. You're a squad nowadays. I mean, yeah, your team, 17 men run out on the field on game day, but everybody knows you need, you know, way more than 17 players. You need a solid squad to win a premiership. So Corey Oates will get his opportunities. It's very rare that players are playing, you know, all 26 games in a season. It's a tough, hard grind. So Corey Oates, he's a professional. He'll be ready if called upon, given the opportunity. But look, he'll be disappointed. There's no question. And if he wasn't disappointed, you'd be worried.
Yes.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, Heels has taken it rougher than I think Corey, because Corey sort of basically intimated he doesn't want to travel the 100-odd Ks down to play for the Burley Bears.
Oh, I could think of worse places to go and play.
Yes, exactly.
Good fun. I'll be down there on the weekend, so I'll I'll let you know how he performs.
Yes, righto. Yeah, you're the live caller. Are you? Who else?
Not working. Call. I'm just going to go down and watch it. I've got a few guys that I want to go and watch play, so I'll be down there at Burley. But yeah, and love getting out to see the younger guys get around earlier in the day. So yeah, I'm excited to get down there and watch it a bit early on the weekend.
All right, Titans with a bye this week. Let's have a look at the other two Queensland side. Cowboys v Knights. Cows very, very impressive the other day against the Dolphins.
Yeah, they were, and I thought Newcastle really lacked punch. And they'll get found out if they play like that against the Cowboys, who, you know, looking at the game back, I was sort of, you know, Sats and I were talking about during the week, and we were just sort of wondering, were the Dolphins that bad or were the Cowboys that good? And it was probably a bit of both. Cowboys played some pretty good footy, and, you know, they'll take a lot of confidence out of that. They, you know, they had that little purple patch that 8 rounds coming into the finals and just sort of dropped the ball a couple of rounds out. I thought they were a chance of, you know, even finishing top four at one point. They were on fire. But yes. Unfortunately, the start just cost them. So they'll want to rectify that. And you look across their roster, I mean, there is talent across that entire team. There are points in their back row. There are points in their centres. There's points in their finishes, in their wings, their fullback. There's points everywhere in that team. So you want to be on your game against the Cowboys because they can hurt you, and I think they should get the chocolates against the Knights.
Dolphins and Dragons. He's made a few key changes, hasn't he? He's the halfback's been showing the exit door after round one, and Tessie New's been replaced by Jake Avarillo.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Avarillo didn't start in round one. You know what the Dolphins really lacked last year was genuine speed. They obviously they've got the hat. They had the hammer in there, but you know, they just didn't have the speed out wide. So they went and bought Avarillo and they sat him on the bench, or they didn't pick him in the 17 for round one. So good to see him back and like getting his opportunity. You know, Herbie Farmworth, I thought was okay in a pretty ordinary team, and I thought their other signing, Flegler, was good as well. He tried hard. So you know, there's going to be a lot of not pressure, but you know, there's going to be a lot asked of Tom Flegler. He's surrounded by a few older guys, and he probably needs to carry the most of the weight there in the forward pack. But look, when all those players are on, they can be as good as anyone. You look at that forward pack, the Bromwich brothers, and you know, Nichols, and you know, now Flegler, Kafusi. I mean, all players on their day can turn a match. So.
Yes.
I think it'll be a good game. It'll be interesting to see how St George back up after a solid win against the Dragons. St George, one thing I know about Shane Flanagan, I've had a bit to do with him over the times, he's a very similar coach to a Ricky Stewart. He'll have his team committed and you'll get a football team that goes out there with intent every week. Whether or not they've got the skill to go deep into the competition, I'm unsure yet. But look, they looked pretty sharp last week against the pretty average Titans.
Yeah, Matty, I'm sort of looking forward to seeing West Tigers, what they produce, and they're up against the Raiders. Pretty good game, I reckon.
Yeah, it will be. Raiders were good last week,
yeah.
You know, to go up to Newcastle and win, so they're going to have to be on their game. And I was interested to see that Aiden Caesar didn't get picked. He obviously hasn't stamped his authority in the halves over the off-season, and he's on the bench at the 14, so that's sort of where they struggled, you know. The team, you look at the forward pack, you know, you took Manu and Clemmer in the front row, Papali'i and Bateman in the back row.
Yeah.
That's a solid forward pack. It's a good forward pack. Happy Coruscant at 9. So if they can get going and the halves can steer the ship, I think there's some points in that team and, you know, I'll be interested to see how they go.
Yep, exactly right. And what Benji brings. He's made a couple of bold decisions and put young Lachlan Galvin in the 6 and left Caesar in the 14, as you said. Hey, out of the round one, who were most impressive? I mean, Storm to keep the Panthers to nil, that was a hell of an effort.
Yeah, the Storm were very good, mate, but I can't go past my Sharkies, Paddy. I called that game and I literally thought after 18 minutes, this game's over.
Yes.
They were attacking the line. They were 12-0 up. I thought, oh, they're gone. The Sharks are gone. This game will be over in 20 minutes. They hung on, they showed tremendous grit, determination, and then fought their way back, jagged a try before halftime, then went on to win it in the second half. I just thought they were fantastic. And it showed a different level of mettle to the team than I've seen in the previous couple of years. So, you know, who knows where they could go if they continue on in that vein. But I'll tell you who impressed me, and I know it was against Canterbury, who weren't great, but the Parramatta Eels.
Yes, okay.
Mm. They impressed Bryce Cartwright in particular.
Yeah.
He's just come out a different footballer this year and playing with, you know, real ferocity in defence, which is probably not his go, but just, you know, a genius with the ball as well. So it'd be interesting to see how they go as well. But, yeah, look, a few good performances. You can't go past the Storm keeping the Panthers to nil. The Panthers, you know, they've lost a couple now in a row with the World Club Challenge and that. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they go up against Parramatta this week.
Yeah. Hey, while we've got you, I just want to fire a couple of quick questions about the Reds and rugby. But we've just tracked down some audio from Eddie Jones talking about this controversial stint and a brief stint that he had at the Wallabies.
At Australia, don't live in your suitcase for 12 months. That was the thing I learned. It was a bad situation. I went there, wanted to make change, wasn't settled, just didn't work. But I don't have any regrets. Don't have any regrets. Like, I tried to do my best in a short period of time. And what I think I've left Australia is a young squad that's capable of doing well.
Okay, well, that's Eddie now in, you know, the harsh light of day of what was just a disastrous World Cup campaign. But on the plus side, Matty, we're seeing some good performances by these Australian franchises, particularly against the New Zealand teams.
We're seeing phenomenal performances, Paddy. You know, the Reds, they could easily be 3-0 at the moment. And I was really stoked to see them get over the Chiefs on the weekend, given, you know, they won their first game comfortably against New South Wales, which, you know, we expected. And then they come out and get beaten in extra time, and then they're playing the Chiefs. And I'm thinking, gee, they could have played really good rugby, and they could be, you know, 1-2. So to come out and do what they did against the Chiefs, they deserve to win. But you know what sports like, boys? It's not always fair, and you know the people that deserve it don't always get it. You know what they're after. So yeah, really stoked that the Reds got that win. You know, all the sides. I went down and I called the Brumbies Force game for Stan Sport, and really impressed with what I was seeing from you know, some key young players. Ben Donaldson was fantastic. I know all the tens have been fantastic. Payne Edmed, young liner. Yeah, just, you know, there's some phenomenal talent in Australian rugby. It's just about, you know, pulling them together and getting to perform on the big stage when they're wearing that gold jersey. But one thing that helps that is if they've got a, you know, a habit of beating New Zealand teams, you know, in the provincial, at the provincial level, they come up against New Zealand teams, they know that they've beaten before, they know they're human, they know they can be beat, they can go out there with confidence knowing that they're capable of beating them in the gold jersey. So, and I'm optimistic about the future. I'm really excited to see how Joe Smith goes as a coach. What I like about Joe Smith, he just seems really unassuming. He's not about the bright lights, he's about getting the job done. And you know, and I think that's, you know, really the way the All Blacks operate. You know, they're not about any one person. They're about the jersey and about, you know, playing to win. And, yeah, I'm excited to see how, you know, the rest of the season unfolds. I'm literally just about to fly down to Sydney right now to do a show with Justin Harrison and talking rugby. And I got to tell you, Paddy, I'm really excited about where rugby is right now, given the performances of the last 3 weeks.
Good stuff. And that's what we want to hear. I mean, we want them back and we want them challenging on the world front. I mean, the Wallabies have dropped to number 10 in the world, so the only way from here is up. Hey, great to chat as usual. Yeah. Jump on that plane and we wish you the very best of luck of getting into the Live Pro-Am. We'll see what we can do.
All right, good on you, Paddy. See you, boys.
And Matty.
Text here from JC at Camp Hill on the text line, which is 0467 736 736. Went to Vegas and agree the costs all over Sin City were over the top. For example, at the stadium, you'd pay up to 25 Aussie dollars for a 24-ounce beer and $30 Australian for a burger and chips.
Mm.
The exchange rate is something to consider. It doesn't help right at the moment. Buyer beware for all future footy punters. It'll be interesting. Corey McKernan didn't take a trip, as far as I know, to the NRL, but he was certainly in Vegas for Super Bowl, and he goes over there for, you know, other events. He's one of the sort of premier tour leaders, isn't he? The exchange rate is something to consider. But look, for those who went to Vegas, acknowledge, it was expensive. but they had a ton of fun as well.
Haven't heard a bad word said about it, have
no.
we? The stadium being so atmospheric, even though the crowd not, you know, two-thirds full. The games were good.
Yeah.
Being in Vegas, good. But you're just starting to hear that a bit, you know. $18 US for a beer.
Yeah, mm. I saw your business partner, Chris Johns, at Darryl Vandervelde's wake the other day, but I didn't get a chance to sort of ask him, but what's he saying to you? Because he went over to Vegas, didn't he, with a few mates?
Yes. He
did he love it?
Reiterated, not really. He felt like it was robbery everywhere you went in Vegas. And sort of didn't. He was pleased. He planned his trip the way he did. Just they were Napa Valley-ish type stuff first, then Vegas for minimal time either side of the match day,
yep.
and then to Cabo to finish. And he was pleased to get out of there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that it just leaves a little bit of a sour toast, isn't it? You know, what did he say? $30 for a burger and chips. Thanks, JC. It's,
Johnsy doesn't really go for the burger and chips as much as he does the other price range there, the beer. And he certainly wasn't keen to dip into his pocket that often.
$25 for a 24-ounce beer. So that's expensive. I see they're blowing up about price at the MCG as well, and it's about $20 for a pie and a beer, I think.
So beers in bars now are over $10, aren't they? You're getting way up there. So a burger and chips at a stadium for 20, I'm not sure that's too bad. How many are going to get sold this weekend at the MCG? It's four games. Oh, one tonight. There's 90,000 going to be there tonight. And then three others over the weekend.
Yep, yeah, it's a busy weekend for all codes. I mean, obviously the Reds are on the road. We'll have a chat to the Reds a little later on in the show as well. We're here for Suncorp Home Resilience. Get your home storm season ready with Suncorp and that Home Resilience open line. Love to hear from you this morning, 13 13 55. What's on the mind? Is it too expensive to go to the footy these days? Give us a call. Certainly, it seemed to be very, very expensive if you'd forked out the money to get all the way to Vegas to watch a couple of rugby league matches.
Oh, I think I think Johnsy was pretty happy he got his tickets too from Kevy. You know, I think the tickets might have been right up there by the sound of that.
Mm.
That he was still surprised at the expense without tickets.
Yeah, it will be interesting to chat to Corey about this because he's now an expert in these, you know, high end travel extravaganzas. Mm. They take in the Phoenix Open as well, which is the big one where they get, you know, hundreds of thousands of fans.
Think he's going to the Masters again?
Yeah, Masters, Super Bowl.
No hard questions to him, Paddy, because while you're at Live, I could be at the Masters.
Well, I mean, we're talking about doing Super Bowl when it hits San Fran, aren't we, in a couple of years' time? That's come as a bit of a shock to Cess, mind you.
Well, she loves the football.
Don't you, darling? It's coming up to 7:20 over. Corey McKernan will join us on the show. He'll talk all things AFL. As I said, they've just been dissecting a little bit this Lions loss the other day. The pundits, as they do. Plenty of time to have a look at video and pick it apart. And they're just questioning Brisbane's, I don't know, fortitude under the pump late, when they should be wasting time instead of trying to hurry things up and protect their lead a little bit. We'll have a chat to Corey as well. Jack will be along with a sports update. We've got Champions League matches being played at the moment and they're deep into the second half, Dortmund and PSV, Dortmund leading 1-0 and on aggregate 2-1. Atletico Madrid and Inter, it's 1-1. It's been a bit spicy this match. You've been keeping an eye on it, Heels. Inter leading on aggregate 2-1 in that one. They're 72 minutes in both those Champions League matches. The other one, Heels, obviously, and I had a chat on Satsa show last night with Jason. Tournament Players Championship, or the Players Championship. The Players Championship. This is the one they call the fifth major. We've got five Aussies starting, Jay Day, Minwoo Lee, Adam Scott, Cam Davis, and Aaron Baddeley. It's the 20th anniversary for Adam Scott since he won.
04.
Yeah, 04. He was a 23-year-old. He said the big regret, they finished up back at one of the Aussie players' place in Orlando because quite a few of the Aussies based themselves out in Orlando for obvious reasons, the weather, the airport and all that sort of thing. Good golf courses around there. addiction. We just didn't celebrate, you know, as much as we would have liked. He said because a 23-year-old Adam Scott was used to having a decent celebration if he had a good win. And this is as, you know, apart from, you know, when he won the Masters, this was as good a win as he had in his career.
And why not?
No, he said it was all a bit quiet. He said, I don't know why. He said we had a coach. He said his wife-to-be was there and a couple of the Aussie golfers. And he said, we didn't kick on as hard as we should have. He said, if I win it again this year, he said, I'll make sure we celebrate hard and hearty.
Right, and I suppose at 23, you think, there'll be plenty more of these.
Yeah. The good part is that Aaron Baddeley's qualified for this. He's world number 220, so he had to go through qualifying. He's got in. So it gives us five.
Good effort.
Yeah. It gives us five, but, of course, Cam Smith not there. And there's a lot of talk about the players who aren't there, obviously contracted to live. But I see Rory McIlroy in look, there's a little more conciliation coming out of the words of Rory McIlroy lately, but he's just done his press conference over there saying, hey, let's try and get this, you know, this rift healed. He said, I just now I'm getting the feeling that golf fans worldwide are tiring of this process, that every time we come to a big event like this one, remembering we haven't even started the four majors for the year. April is when we see the Masters played, that, you know, the fans are saying, there's no Cam Smith. He's now slipped to number 54 in the world. There's no Rahm. There's no Koepka being seen at these big events outside the majors.
DeChambeau, you never know what he's going to produce.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's 7:31. Lots of topics today. We'd love to hear from you. 13 13 55 is that Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line or the text line 0467 736 736. How many strings to this bow does Corey McCann, like, two-time premiership player, All Australian, tour leader extraordinaire, and now he's having a fight. At the Gathering fight card in Adelaide, and he's fighting Anthony Rocca, who's a big, big man. Corey, what are you thinking?
Nah, Paddy, it's as you boys know, we've got the mental health platform that we do called Walk With Me, and if it wasn't the opportunity to promote that around Australia and promote it into South Australia, I would not be doing this, boys.
Have you found gloves big enough for those hands of yours? That's the first thing.
Hey, well, considering I'm talking to a fellow hand model, Heels is probably the only person that's got a couple of fingers worse than mine.
Exactly right. I've got to watch them. I'm going to look at them every morning of the week, mate. It's not a pretty sight.
They're all right, mate. They're all right. So the whole fight card is about that mental health platform?
Heels, I know, look, from my own point of view, that's my why I'm doing it. Not sure why the other guys are, they've probably got their own reasons. But, no, it should be a lot of fun. Obviously, it's a really big occasion in Adelaide now. It was only last year that was the first one. And
yes,
it's amazing how, during the month of April, how Adelaide now becomes sort of the sporting of the Australian universe, you know what I mean, with all the AFL clubs going there the first week of April, and then the other one that's near and dear to our hearts I think the last week of April is going to be LIV. So it's a pretty exciting place to be, April in Adelaide.
Mm. And in between that, you'll be heading to the Masters, where you'll be reporting for us as well.
Yes. If I have to do that for you boys, I'll make sure I'm on the ground, and I'll be having the, yeah. Nah, look, it's as you guys have been before. It is such a, there's nothing like Masters Week. I think out of all the things that I'm fortunate enough to do, Masters is still my favourite, and I think just because for the sheer reason that it's got that perfect blend of, you get to play golf and watch golf, whereas Super Bowl's a bit more, how do we say, manic and crazy, and there's a lot of things going on. But I just love the balance, and it's more the camaraderie of being with your mates during Masters Week, play some golf, go home, watch the Golf Channel, and, yeah, just an unbelievable week.
Go to the course the next day. A few people are starting to say how expensive it was in Vegas for the NRL trip and just around Vegas itself. Have you found America more expensive post-COVID?
That is a resounding yes, Heels. Mm. I know that there was one night in Phoenix where I offered to pick up the drinks tab, and I think I bought No, but it was, and this was astounding. I think there was only three of us, and then I think we might have had maybe six beers and two bowls of chicken wings, and that come to $295. So, jeez. and that was in US dollars, and they were kind enough. You know what I do love about that, boys, is how nice are they? They build in the tip for you.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. They whack on that 20 or 30% for you without even you thinking, and it's so kind.
Yeah, it used to be 10, and now they insist on 20 going to 25, and you even mentioned 30. Wow.
Yes, anyway, we'll move off that. Hey, listen, there's been a heavy dissection both here and in Melbourne of the Lions' performance, led by 46. Prelim final rematch and all that sort of thing. And there was just the way that they managed the game late. And is there a vulnerability with Brisbane when it comes to these really tight games?
Well, you'd like to think, let's look at it on the flip side. Like, you look at someone like Collingwood in those close situations, when everyone said we're Collingwood lucky in those really tight games, well, you can't do it that many times that it's actually lucky.
Yeah.
So maybe the Lions have got to take a leaf out of the Pies book and just, there's certain things, if you really watch it closely, if you happen to see Collingwood in a tight situation, and even in that grand final, I know for the Lions fans, I know I'm opening up old wounds, but it's just the way that they end up. If you watch them, they don't let the ball get out of the stoppage, and you watch them practically fall over themselves to really make it look like to the umpire they're doing their best to actually get the play going. But you know what I mean? They're actually doing everything they can to slow down the game. So, I don't think it's round one. They've probably got to look at the positive side of the game that, they did get the 46-point lead. But it is a little bit concerning that, like you mentioned, the inability to shut the game down. But those things in football and any sport, once momentum happens, you probably just got to have a core group of leaders that, and that's, again, I know I'm referring back to Collingwood, but when they've got Steel Sidebottom, Dacos, DeGoey, these sorts of players, well, the Lions, other than Lachie Neale, they've got to find another four or five leaders on the ground to say, hey, this is what we do when it gets tight. We've got to, we know what we do. We've practiced this at training, and they've got to execute it.
Mm. What about this round of AFL, Corey? Listening to a couple of the panel shows, they're pretty excited by it, eh? And massive games, a lot of them at the MCG.
Yeah, look, hasn't it been interesting? What was last week anyway, boys? Was it opening round? Was it round one? I think we all got a little bit confused. But no, look, I think I happened to do a launch for Walk With Me yesterday at the MCG. And yeah, look, when you know tonight it's going to be Carlton and Richmond, two of the biggest teams in the competition. There'll be 90,000 there tonight. Yeah. Then tomorrow night you've got the Pies unfurling the flag. There'll be another 85,000-90,000. So yeah, look, I think then when you know footy's really back, when you see that game at the MCG, I thought last week was a resounding success of really promoting the game. Now that I'm up here in Queensland with you guys and I've seen the light, that I felt like it was a great advertisement for the game. That you look at Gold Coast Suns had never been sold out before, and that was sold out, and the Gold Coast Suns won with Dimmer in charge. Then you've got GWS had never been sold out before. So there's a lot of positives there. I know there's a little bit of negativity that people want, we want Carlton Richmond round one. But I don't know why we can't really still start with Carlton Richmond on the maybe on the Thursday night and just extend it over the weekend and play some of those games that we did. Like, if it takes away the confusion, maybe the AFL are trying to trick us all and just have 25 rounds, and this is their way of round it by just having the opening round. And we know how confused those Collingwood fans get out there, boys, don't we?
Hey, just quickly, while we've got you, what about the Suns? I mean, they started off with a nice win. They've got the Crows this weekend, and we're talking to Tommy from Hadbrook, from Ladbrokes. This is the first time that he can remember that they've started favourite in back-to-back matches.
Yeah, look, it's exciting times, and I think this would happen in league or cricket or any sport around the world. When you get someone that's come in and achieved it all like Damien Hardwick does, it raises the standards and the expectation of the place. So I think they would have been under, even though they won that game, I know Dimmer wouldn't have been really pleased that when you're up by, what was it? It was 10 goals or something like that. If they're going to become, if they're going to make finals and they've never been able to make finals, look, it would be fantastic to see the Gold Coast Suns make it because, as you guys well know, usually the sporting landscape on the Gold Coast has usually been a bit of a graveyard for many teams. Like, it hasn't been a place that we associate with successful Australian sporting franchises. So it's a really big feather in Dimmer's cap if they can not only make the finals, but look, and again, that's the difference in a great coach. Like, when you have an Alistair Clarkson or Damien Hardwick, they're not talking about making finals. They're talking about, how do we get our hands on our first cup? Like, how do we... That's the mindset of what they're talking, and it's exciting times.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, we've run out of time, but just very quickly, how can our listeners support your charity, mate?
Look, you can just go to walkwithme.com.au. And just one quick one, Heels, I've still got your box of 3892, brother, so I've still got to get that to you.
Just keep it well salad, mate. It'll be right. Thanks, mate.
I know that. I haven't forgotten.
Yeah. AFL legend Corey McKernan joining us there. Thank you, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey.
No worries, boys. See ya.
We're back and we're powered by Kubota. You can take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. And if you're looking for height, hire it right. Visit heightforhire.com.au. Jack's here now with a sports update.
Good morning, Paddy. Good morning, Heels. Some big games going on in the Champions League at the moment. The game that we've got on the screen, thanks to Stan Sports, is Atletico Madrid versus Inter Milan. That game is tied up 2-2 on aggregate. Atletico lead 2-1 over Inter in the game, and we've got about 3 minutes of extra time before we head into extra time and potentially penalties. There are yellow cards flying all over the place at the moment. So it's,
that coach is outside the dotted line.
That's Diego Simeone. He has spent most of his managerial career outside the dotted line. Very, 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 very passionate Diego Simeone. Argentinian legend. He was the player that David Beckham was sent off for kicking in the World Cup back in 1998.
Yep.
Is there no end to your pool of knowledge?
Just the Beckham documentary is very fresh on my mind at the moment, Paddy. It was very good. And in the other Champions League game, Borussia Dortmund lead PSV 2-1 on aggregate and 1-0 on the day. Ooh. That game just about to wrap up in the 93rd minute. The NBL finals matchup is locked in. We're going to have the Tasmania Jack Jumpers taking on Melbourne United. The Jack Jumpers pulled off an incredible victory last night over the Perth Wildcats over in Perth against the hostile home Wildcats crowd. They won 100-84 with Milton Doyle, their import guard, putting on a starring performance. In the other game, Melbourne United beat the Illawarra Hawks 100-94 to secure their place in the grand final. And the first game in that series starts in Melbourne on Sunday night.
Did Melbourne United have any trouble from the free throw line, do you know?
Not that
They've
I know
They've been going
of.
Terrible. 14 out of 25 and 15 out of 25.
Ooh.
So that's where their pressure point is. But good job.
Let's have a look at the – they were 21 from 30. So, you know, that's, what, 70%?
What were the Jack Jumpers?
The Jack Illawarra were 24 from 38. Let me
24 you know, from 38. Yeah, so worse,
Illawarra didn't have the best night behind the charity stripe.
Just wake me up when you two are finished.
A big story.
Oh, we have to listen to your stuff.
We've heard about golf all morning. Throws.
What are you saying? Basketball's no good.
No, we've given the score.
Just checking.
That's all we've
got to
do.
Just, well, now we're looking at the detail of the game.
Throws.
I think Matt's going to have to get out a yellow card soon. Mm. There's a lot of accusations flying around in here. Elise Perry, she has become the first player in cricket history to score 100 and take six for in every format of the game after her starring performance in the Women's Premier League yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
6 for 14.
Mm. And you came, and then 40 not out to pass the total. And so that's an incredible performance. You came in yesterday and talked about that, didn't you? Mm. So I looked into the 6 wickets you got.
Mm.
They were 1 for 61. And she got Nat Siver Brunt.
Yep.
Then two cores, Harmon Preet and Amanjot.
So all core. International superstars.
Yeah, Amelia Kerr, Vestraka and Sajana, the opener. That was the first wicket.
Not a bad lineup.
Incredible. Right. And decking them in, wasn't she? Yep. Big off cutters.
And finally, Cinderella story out of Germany. Now, you may remember a few weeks ago I spoke about Saarbrücken. They are a third division German side, so basically a semi-pro side in Germany. A few weeks ago, they knocked out Harry Kane's Bayern Munich, the biggest club in the land in the German Cup. They've done it again and knocked off Borussia Mönchengladbach, who are staples of the Bundesliga, and reached the semi-final of the German Cup. So to put it in like Australian terms, it's like the Southport Tigers knocking off the Brisbane Broncos twice. So they're through to the semi-finals where they're going to be taking on Werder Bremen, which is an unbelievable story out of Germany.
Paddy's been talking about it since you mentioned it last week.
He's a big fan of third division German football.
Look at the time. We've got to get to a commercial break. Someone wake me. Paddy from Ipswich has been back on. Hey, boys, a lot better chance of solving the golf impasse if Rory stopped talking. He's just seen as a spoiled brat. Well, I'll tell you what, though, Matt, he has become a little more conciliatory. I mean, from statements like, I hate live golf, etc., to let's see if we can get it done and get it done sooner rather than later because the fans are becoming disillusioned. Really? Well, maybe you've just sort of read the room a little bit. Yeah, I mean, of course we want to see the Players' Championship this week where they're playing for, what, 38 million or something. We want to see them all there. We want to see the world's best there. Anyway, it's coming up to 8 o'clock in the 8 o'clock news. Just a quick one, the young Matildas beaten in the semi-finals of the under-20 Women's Asian Cup in Uzbekistan. Japan dominant, although it was 1-1 until deep into the match, until the hour mark, and then Japan ran away with it 5-1. But the Oz team will play South Korea on Saturday night for third place. And if they can seal third place, it'll equal their best ever showing going back to 2006.
Are you finished? You just wake me up. See, that's what you said to Jack.
Yeah, well, Jack, where were we?
Tennis seems to have sorted out Roddy and Ova too, eh? She's back in the Billie Jean Cup team, which is good. Sam Stowes is going to get them going here in Brisbane.
Yep, exactly. It's coming up very quickly, the 8 o'clock news. Not great for the Bulls. You were out there for the rest of the day yesterday. You've got to think that all things being equal, they'll probably lose this match against New South Wales.
Let's get 150 in front, another 32 with 2 wickets, and knock them over.
Okay, and unleash the young quick. Unleash Callum Vidler. Yes, 8 o'clock news with Vanessa, news, weather and sport, and then we will be back with lots more right after that.